Father, may the words that we've just sung be the true desire of our heart, that we would not just be here this morning to hear a sermon, but that we would long to be shaped and molded into your image, transformed by your grace, remade for your glory. May this be the effect of our time together, we pray, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. May we be seated. We continue this morning in what I hope will be a theme that will follow throughout the whole year. We're doing it very intentionally these first few weeks of the month of January as I hope to really kind of set the course for us all this year to focus on the main thing, which is to follow Jesus. Not just merely to have an intellectual faith, not merely to belong to a church, not merely to do good things, but to truly orient our lives to following Jesus. To that end, the first week we looked at the failure of idols. We saw that in Isaiah that all the idols of this world are ultimately nothing. And that if we set our attention and make our New Year's resolutions and order our lives around the attaining of the worldly goals and goods, it will ultimately leave us bereft and wanting. Last week, we looked at what should capture our attention, the one who should capture our attention, Jesus, where he said, "Follow me, come and see, and watch and see." You remember he said to them, follow me, orient your life to me, come and see what the Lord God is here to do, to make all things new, and to see that he will remake not only you, but this whole of creation. And this week, it is as we seek to order our lives like the first disciples in following Jesus, that I want to call our attention to what it means to be transformed. You see, the end of the gospel, the end of following, is not merely to watch what Jesus does, but to become like Jesus. It's not merely to be an observer of what God is doing, but to be a participant in what God is doing. You see, the plan to change the world is you. The means of communicating the gospel is you. The hands of kindness and grace and goodness to those who are hurting and suffering is you. The voice of truth is you. The light in the darkness is you. As the Spirit of God indwells you, as the gospel of God transforms you, you are the candles that brighten the darkness of the fall and illuminate the world to the gift of grace. You are being transformed. And as you are being transformed, you will be transformers of the world. Let's look now at Mark's gospel. And I want you to see three things. First of all, I want you to see good news. Secondly, I want you to see a Galilean call. And the third, I want you to see an invitation to go and do likewise. First, the good news. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee. Now, to set this in context, Mark's gospel is sprinting through church history. Unlike some of the other synoptics, we have just the briefest of accounts in verses 12 and follow or 9 and following of the baptism of Jesus. We get very few details. Jesus is baptized, heavens open, Spirit descends. God says, you're my beloved son. Boom. Next thing, Spirit drives him into the wilderness. We don't get any of the how long it was, what happened during the temptation. We don't get anything that what the devil did. Nope, none of that. We just get he's in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. That's it. That's all you get. It's like this a rock skipping across the history of Jesus' life, and then the next thing you get is a proclamation of the gospel. Now, when John's arrested, well, dear ones, what happened between all of that? The Jerusalem and Judea ministry of Jesus and his trip through Samaria where he meets the Samaritan woman and the proclamation of the gospel to these half-breeds that were outcasts and rejected by the Jews. All of that's missing here in Mark's gospel. He runs from Christ's temptation to the proclamation of the gospel to the Galilean ministry. Because Mark's point is not to give you a history lesson, but to call you to a living reality. You see, in Christ's baptism, he is announced as the Savior of the world. In his temptation, he is announced as the conqueror of sin, death, and hell. And now in Galilee, he begins to proclaim, I am the Savior of the world. Here, now after John was arrested, now why does it begin there? What was John? Does anybody remember? He was the forerunner of Jesus, but he was the last what? Prophet. He was the last prophet. Here in John ends the line of prophecy. The prophets were those who served us from the days of old to announce that God's covenant promises were true. God had promised them a people. God had promised a land. God had promised his blessing. God had made covenant promises, and the prophets were the ones that held up to Israel. Oh, Israel, don't forget. Don't forget what God has said. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget the way you are to go. And as we saw in Jeremiah's lesson this morning, Israel always forgot. They are just like us. I remember the words of the psalmist that I think apply to my life. They soon forgot. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea might be a good example. When they cross the Red Sea and they get to the other side, Moses goes up the mountain. What are they doing at the bottom? Making an idol. Wait a minute. God just parted a sea. And you walked through on dry land, and the army of the greatest nation of the world is consumed by the waters, and you want to make a cow? But isn't this what we do? We're just like them. And this is why we started this series in the fact that our idols are worthless and wanting. Oh, we can make grandiose plans and we can have titles and we can have possessions and we can have all the stuff that the world has to offer, but it's all going to go away. It's all fading. It's all illusory. It's all fake. Keep your eyes on what's real. John, the last prophet, here, John had completed his work. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The past prophets are gone. They're over. It's finished. And now what begins with John's arrest and Jesus' entry into the scene, what begins? The presence of God. Prophecy is replaced with presence. Do you know that God is Emmanuel? With us. He's with us today. Even when Jesus ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, he didn't leave us orphans. What did he do? He left us the Spirit. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You are gifted by the Holy Spirit. You are comforted by the Holy Spirit. You are imbued with the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. You're not an orphan. You are a beloved child of the King. Filled with his Spirit. The presence of God is in you. So this is good news. The gospel is that Jesus has come to reunite us and reconcile us to a holy God. He takes away our sins so that we can be the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. It begins with a relationship. Jesus appears in the midst of Galilee to reunite us with a holy God. It is a reality that changes everything and everyone. Every tribe, every tongue, every people are changed because Jesus Christ has borne away all guilt, all struggle, all suffering, all sorrow. He has paid in full our debt, and not ours only, but for the sins of the world. And therefore, brothers and sisters, just as Jesus boldly appears on the scene of Galilee to proclaim victory over death, victory over the devil, victory over the dominions of the world. He imbues us with his Spirit and his grace to do the same. Now, here in this place, follow me is not merely believe a few facts. Follow me is to reorient our life to make much of the treasure which we've been entrusted. To take our lives and our gifts and our opportunities to show forth to the world that Jesus Christ has come and saved our souls and is the Savior of the world. And it's not a far off there, someday he might do this. It's a right here, right now. Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty. Jesus Christ has borne away the sin, and you can have victory in Jesus today. Not prophecy, presence. And this is the beginning of his ministry. The kingdom is at hand. That means it's already here. If the kingdom is at hand, if the king is present and the kingdom is here, what must we do? What are the next verse? What are the next words? Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, these are in the present tense in the Greek. Repent and believe the gospel. Ongoingly, moment by moment, day by day, year after year, repent, reorient your life, recalibrate your steps to be in step with Jesus. And to believe the gospel is not, again, an intellectualism, but to faith that Jesus will take you wherever he wants to take you and do with you more than you could imagine or think and fill you with his grace, guard you with his goodness, and guide you with his Spirit. Do you believe that? You see, God has a plan for your life that is greater than you've imagined. He wants to do things in your life and through your life that will last for eternity. He wants you to be the instruments of change in the world. He wants you to be the instruments of transformation in the world. As he transforms you, you and I will transform the world. Well, what do I mean in some concrete terms? Wouldn't it be wonderful if in the midst of a public discourse where ideologies left and right and hatred was being spewed across the aisles and names were being cast, that somebody stood up and said, hey, you know what? God has an answer for this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Speak the truth in love. Where are those folks? Where's the church in our conversations? So I just say to you, if we want to see transformation of our culture, it begins with our own transformation. Do we see one another as created in the image of God? Do we see one another created with dignity and worth? Do we value one another more than we value being right? Now, that doesn't mean, I want you to misunderstand that. Are there absolute truths? Say yes. Do we ever deny the absolute truth? No. Do we bludgeon people with it? No. Speak the truth in love. On any and all social issues, the church needs to stand and be heard, but it needs to be heard with a voice of compassion and a call for repentance. The reality is that if we are in relationship with Jesus, Jesus's love, grace, and truth will shine in our lives as we repent and believe, keep going after him. Now I want you to see the Galilean call. Look at verses 16 and following. So we've heard the good news. The good news is that king has come and the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. I want you to see the Galilean call. So as he's passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he comes along two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew, and James and John. And he says to them, follow me. The first thing he says is, follow me. As we've talked about already for the last few weeks, that means that they had to make a choice in that moment. Were they going to reorder their life to be with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to be present with Jesus, or were they going to continue to do the same thing they had always done? They could have said, oh man, you're a great prophet, great teacher, love you, good teacher. I'm going to stay here with the Nets. You know, I like you, Jesus, man. I believe you are that prophet. You're the one that the Lamb of God. I got you. I'm not leaving my family. That's a hill too tall. I'm not going to do that. But hey, I like you. Jesus doesn't want you to like him. He wants you to follow him. As John Stott talks about, and that means a persistent and consistent reordering and reshaping of your life to look like Jesus. That's the deal. That's discipleship. You'll hear next week in our parish meeting that my heartbeat, what the Lord has spoken to me for this year, is we need a renewed focus and a renewed kind of passion for being disciples and making disciples. And so we're going to talk about some of the ways that we hope to encourage and instigate that this year. But we've got to reorient ourselves. We've got to remake ourselves in the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit as we consistently are obedient to him. Only as Jesus is followed can he be known. I want you to hear this. Only as Jesus is followed can he be known. Only as you are walking with Jesus can you know the will and the way of Jesus. It is only as you are willing to submit yourself to him that he can make himself known to you and in you. Now, the second thing I want you to see, that's discipleship. The first, the Galilean call begins with discipleship. Are you willing to become a disciple? The second thing he says is, I will make you to become fishers of men. Now here, brothers and sisters, I want you to see a few things here. First of all, who makes what? Jesus says, I will make you to become fishers of men. This is really encouraging. Because when we follow Jesus, Jesus' love and attention is focused upon us. Jesus has a plan for us. Jesus has a purpose for us. Jesus wants to do something in your life. Jesus wants to remake and remold you in ways that you haven't even thought about yet. Do you believe this? You see, as you follow Jesus, he will reshape you. He will open your eyes to see new things. He will direct you in places and paths that you never dreamed would be possible. Do you believe this? Will. Now, do you want this? See, this is the greater question. If we're unwilling to risk, if we're unwilling to follow, if we're unwilling to believe, we will never know the joy of becoming fishers of men. I'll use Mississippi as an example. Had I not been willing to come and get on a plane and sit down and talk with Steve Williams and a gang of Chip was there, and it was a handful of people, Forbes was there. We all talked about what it would look like to have a church plant in Jackson, Mississippi. I remember in his office drawing pictures on a whiteboard downtown. Dreaming dreams. They're not my dreams. They were dreams of people who had come before me. But they were dreams of seeing Jackson made different. The goal of Holy Trinity was never just to plant an Anglican church. The goal was to be a transformational agent for the city of Jackson, that we might know, we might encounter and share the Holy Trinity through worship, community, and mission. This is what we're about. I never dreamed about moving to Mississippi. I had never been to Mississippi before I got on a plane to come to a place called Holy Trinity. But you know what? I'm so glad I did. The last 8-plus years have been a joy and a journey that I wouldn't trade for anything. Will you follow Jesus? Some of you are following Jesus into retirement. Some of you are following him into a career change. Some of you are following him into a change in the season of life. You'll graduate college, you'll get married, you'll have children. Some of you are following Jesus into new neighborhoods, into new opportunities. But everywhere you go and everything that you face this year is an opportunity for you to be led by God and used by God for His glory. That you might catch people. Because you see, I will make you to become fishers of men. It is your life and your witness that will draw others to long to know Jesus. That's the secret. It's not sermons that attract people to Jesus. It's people. It's not Bible studies that attract people to Jesus. It's changed lives. It's not a program that will get people to Jesus. It is people who weep and love and long for people to come to Jesus that will get people to Jesus. And if we want to grow the kingdom, if we want to see the kingdom come, if we want to walk with Jesus, then what we are going to do is we are going to leave our perch and get in the midst of the mess and help people to see grace. Isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He left heaven's glory, became obedient, and took on the likeness of mankind, pitched his tent among us, dwelled among us, walked with us, suffered as we suffer, was tried as we were tried, was hungry and pain, endured pain and sorrow and loss, and he did it all without sin that he might show us the way. Who are you showing the way? See, to be fishers of men means that you cast the net of your life and you draw others to the saving truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And those, just like those disciples, they dropped everything and they did it. I want you to hold your finger there, and you may have to turn a page or two to the left. I want you to look at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And I want you to see where they are here. This is the end of the story. We're looking at the beginning of the Galilean ministry. Here in chapter 28, verse 16 of Matthew, it says, now the 11 disciples went to where? Oh, they went to Galilee. To a mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And some of you who are here, sitting here today said to me, well, you know, Keith, that's a really nice story. I do believe that the truth of the gospel, I do. I really want to follow Jesus. But some of you have doubts. Some of you have fears. Some of you have wonderings. But Jesus says in verse 18, and he came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here's what God says. The go there is as you are going, therefore the command is make disciples. So everywhere you go, in everything that you're doing, make disciples. Show people Jesus. Walk like Christ, talk like Christ, love like Christ, then you will be teaching them all that he's commanded, because your life will model obedience, and it's for all nations. It's everywhere, at all times, for all people. And when they come to the saving knowledge of Christ, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that he's commanded, and he will keep us by his grace. Holy Trinity, what we're about in 2018 as individual members and as the body of Christ called together as his church is to follow Jesus, to fish for men, and to be faithful in all that we do to give him all honor, glory, and praise. Will you join me this year in following him? Will you join me this year in fishing for men? For the gospel is true. The call is clear, and the command is to make disciples. May we be found faithful to that end. And all God's people said,